Freiheit.
Okay, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here and also in the Academy building and talk about fungal infections and the threat to health. What are fungi and what deal with it? That's one of the aspects that's the focus of our work. One is human pathogenic fungus Candida albicans that has basically two lifestyles that lives as a yeast cells with a budding form and that also can cause hyphae, which are relevant for infection and pathology. And in addition, there's Aspergillus fumigatus, who has several lifestyles who can form conidia and which is a major threat for aspergillosis developing in the lung. And for one aspect, one important aspect for this work is the different scenarios of the pathogens, like I just said and introduced for fungi, yeast and hyphal forms. They can live as commensals and acquire pathogenic forms in the body, and they can form different forms of superficial kinds of infections. And as it was proposed and said for the other infectious agents, a predisposition of the human host is relevant, and particularly with the treatment of immunodeficiency and immunosuppressive. Particularly HIV-infected patients are at risk for developing this fungal infections as a co-effect on this part. We are looking in this way in order to find for treatment, I would say the intensity of work on fungal pathogens, which is a threat, and we'll show this in a minute, is not as advanced and not as highly proposed as the previous pathogens that have been addressed. The threat for health, for example, is shown in this slide that looks at sepsis cases that occur in the US per year and that are followed at intensive care units. These are the fungal parts. They have been rather low in the 80s, and the rates are increasing, in this way doubling every 10 years roughly, and the rate is going on. There is at present no real effective treatment, and that's the challenge to understand and look at these aspects in more detail, and that's particularly the work or aspects that we are proposing at our place, at our institute, and in this way looking from both sides to the interaction from host side, looking for these host factors that have been described and being mentioned relevant from other infections, and also from the microbial side for looking what the microbe does in this part and what it what is aiming at. At the level, at the immune level, what happens is that there's a disguise, what is called immune camouflage. So the immune system does not really see or recognize these pathogens, and understanding in this way what is going on is relevant. And the principle in this way presented is that pathogens can act or can be presented as a wolf in sheep's clothes, and that's in this way relevant and of interest to understand. Looking at the in this way approaching this aspect from both sides shows that the immune system acts on several layers and upon first contact with any pathogen, and particular in this way fungi, there are various layers, and the first layer is innate immunity, and that's mostly boasted and composed of pattern recognition molecules. One aspect is complement and cellular response, and if you remember last month, the Nobel Prize for Medicine was given to three scientists who work on innate immunity and characterize the specificity of recognition of this aspect in the immune response and the relevance for this. In addition, it should be mentioned, not only should be mentioned, but it's relevant that the adaptive part of the immune system, which upon first time and contact requires time to develop, is relevant, and aiming for vaccine design and treatment, the aspect is what arm of the immune system should be targeted, and in this way is relevant. T cell response and B cell response is not the only one that is in this way required for treatment. In this way, we focus our work on a complement system that is composed, that forms an ancient weapon that is exists in the world for several million or billions of years. And the description of the system started and came back to the German Paul Ehrlich, who in the year 1902, so more than 100 years ago, talked about the mechanism of Ambuzeptor Wirkung, the mechanism, how molecules work. And in this, I would say, series of brilliant ideas and brilliant concepts, he proposed what is now the immune system, the various parts, the component that he calls ambuceptor, which basically are the antibodies made by adaptive immunity. And there's, he realized, and others are in follow-up also, that there's a second factor, which is in this way complement or innate immunity. And he in this way set the stage for this system and the follow-up of this work. Where do we stand now, today, and where does it work? That's the situation that this is one central component of the system, that is a molecule that's called C3, and what it shows, not only the structure, but also the dynamic, what happens when this molecule is modified, activated. What you can see, it changes its conformation, and completely new sites are exposed and relevant for the interaction and then lead to the activation and processing. Why is this relevant? Because we have an important defense system, and in this way that acts very early and controls most microbes and in this way pathogens. And this acts basically on three major levels, and they cause different effector function. One is the loading of pathogenic or infectious microbes with components with the C3 molecule. This is called opsonization. The second step of inflammation of reaction is inflammation, what's caused by activation fragments, effector molecules. Then what this system is most commonly known is formation of pores, terminal complement component. And what is also relevant and relevant to understand and also to interfere in this system is that there's a emerging and there's a link between innate and adaptive immunity. There are a number of reactions that are regulated and driven by this primarily existing parts and relevant aspects that in this way play a role. In this way, this system is relevant and for maintaining homeostasis, but it's also relevant to identify and eliminate microbes in this way. But apparently there's a difference between microbes and pathogens, because pathogens find means and know how to look at this, how to deal with this system and to evade it and this way to control. What I will summarize in the next couple of slides is one of the approach to look or to identify pathogenic factors that interact with host factors and that ultimately are likely vaccine candidates. And there's one example by other pathogens, Neisseria meningitidis, where similar molecules are already used in a vaccine part, and that's one of the reasons in this way to do this work and approach it. What was presented and proposed is that we see that this fungal pathogen forms this wolf's and sheep's clothes and coats its surface with host factors. One is called factor H. These are molecules, and we aimed to identify these factors by different approaches, looking at screening expression libraries, looking affinity chromatography and protein arrays, and identified several of these components, which are then in a follow-up termed CRASP proteins, which stands for complement regulator acquiring surface proteins. One aspect is to identify and look how they find and the interaction and how they deal with this. And this is one example that shows the interaction of the second molecule, which is termed CRASP2, with various host factors. These are the molecules, and this is the situation that is in this way presented on the surface by immune fluorescence. We can see that the yeast cell forms a coat and uses these molecules as disguise, that it's not presented to the immune system. And this is the cartoon, that there are a number of these molecules, we have identified five, that bind these molecules and form this in this way. This is the protective coat. This is not all, because what we find out is that these single molecules act as multipurpose tool for the are used by the pathogen to identify or interact with various processes, basically with each step of the host immune response that is controlled by such pathogenic molecules, and single pathogenic molecules have multiple functions. This is just, in this way, a binding assay that various components of the central molecule C3 are bound and put to the surface. And in addition, on a functional step, one aspect in recognition and evasion is that when a pathogen gets in contact with a host, there's activation of the system and the surface is normally decorated with these components, and there's inflammatory reactions which then cause the response. What, in this way, one evasion mechanism is that the yeast cells form these CRESP proteins. They bind C3, as was shown, and this then follows up the next steps in the process that these events can not perform. And experimentally, this can be shown that activation fragments are not formed, and also that the loading and deposition of these fragments on the surface, which normally occurs, is inhibited when concentration of this immune evasion proteins or virulence factors are then followed up and being used. Similar effects are presented when for adhesion, so the next contact with human cells and host cells and the uptake of these molecules. Again, the molecules that are formed prevent this and block the interaction, and this can this way be visualized by uptake and by a severe reduction of these processes. And this is not the only aspect and function that comes in addition, that these molecules interact and bind specifically to human receptors that are expressed on endothelial cells and macrophages, and that the interaction they in this way can increase. That's an aspect that's on one side not completely understood, because normally one would think that the first contact that is avoided by the pathogen. However, they have different ways what is known to interfere with this processes and the interaction and follow up. So in this way, to summarize this part, that one single fungal virulence factor is involved and binds to host receptors, which is an integrin with the name of CR2. And what is in this way clear, that several of these immune evasion molecules are used and bound by one single factor. There are additional ones that are shown C3 and so on. The interesting and surprising part is that most of these molecules which bound here are also by themselves ligands to the cellular receptor, and this way interact and play a part and play a role in this aspect. Now, from this part and knowing the function of the other protein, or analyzing the function of the other protein, it is clear that in this way fungal pathogens like Candida use a whole series of molecules that play a role and that control, bind various host proteins and that play a role in virulence and influence virulence and and this way can be addressed and affected. What comes out from here and what are in this way the next step and that are described? One is these microbial proteins are candidates as vaccine candidates. And I told you that for the Neisseria part, one of these molecules with similar features is used already in the cocktail for clinical trials. And the important aspect, understanding this host pathogen relationship in this way, that is not completely but at least the question is, why does the human person express such proteins to help the fungus to make us sick? and what is the purpose of these proteins. And then the aspect that is emerging is that these molecules are central for protection of self tissues. And that brings back to the next part that obviously every biological system is in balance, and also in this system there's a relevance between activation and inhibition, and that needs tightly adjusted. What in this way is known and transferred from this is that these factors that are used by the pathogens for the purpose of infection and pathogenicity are important host factors and are controlling certain steps, and that's the aspect where we move over to genetic susceptibility to not only to infections but also to human diseases. And what is emerging is that these host factors play a role in protection of tissues in our body. And these are two examples I want to give. One is the example of kidney diseases, which can be infection triggered or based on genetic. This is one form is called hemolytic uremic syndrome, HUS, which can be induced by enterohemorrhagic E. coli. There was an outbreak of a specific strain of EHEC HUS in summer, May, June in Germany, which had specific features which caused this disease and which caused a severe outbreak and which in a dramatic case required therapy and the need for treatment and also the need to use new drugs. And if you remember the situation, then there was the outbreak was particularly severe in the northern part of Germany, in Hamburg and Schleswig-Holstein, and new options in treatment with, in this way, complement inhibitors were introduced and turned out to be successful. There's also a link, so that these diseases, host diseases, are to some extent infection triggers, and they are also mediated by autoantibodies and by genetic factors which cause different outcome of this disease, and in this way the same kind of molecules that are used and utilized by human, by pathogenic microbes have a protective role in the human host. The second example, how these molecules are used and relevant for disease, is a common disease, which is a form of blindness, which results in visual impairment, which is called age-related macular degeneration. And at this point, there's a common polymorphism that is in this domain of the protein that results in the exchange of one single amino acid. And this causes a severe risk for getting this disease and for developing blindness in the older age. And what, together with Christoph Binder, we have recently shown that this exchange has a dramatic effect actually on the binding to modified lipids, malondialdehyd, and that reflects in what then turns out in a strong difference between the various forms of this molecule, and that reflects the protective part of the molecule, and that provides an explanation in this part why individuals who have the risk molecule, the histidine, at this position cause the disease. So in this way, the challenges that lie ahead of us and that are solved in various parts is what I view as David from Michelangelo, who has the smart, healthy and intelligent approach to fight the threat and the daemon. And one aspect in this way is that complement is an essential immune surveillance system of our human body, and infectious agents which have evolved over millions of years have shaped the gene pool of their host, and that's an important aspect in this way for both sides. And pathogenic microbes acquire host factors and molecules for their own benefit, and these on the other side of the balance results cause these molecules modify and result in genetic susceptibility to infections and to disease. And the challenge is in this way to develop therapeutic Davids, and that's why I explained to you one example of complement inhibitors that was used in the EHEC scenario in Germany during the outbreak, and Professor Stahl from Hamburg presented the results of this of his study last week at the American Congress of Nephrology, and he came to the conclusion that this treatment had dramatic effects and benefits for the patient. So the patient recovered much earlier and were free of diseases, and in this way their kidneys were protected also from long-term damage. And here I want to close, and I thank you.